Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, folks. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we are coming to you from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank. We've got two great guests today. We've got an international flavor. I think you will love this. We've got Adrian O'Connor, and he's with the Global Accounting Network, and Gabriel Vaca. Gabriel is with the Hispanic Business Center. But before we get to our guest, I want to remind you that you well know you're connected today more than ever, and whether it's your friends, your family, or your life, Renaissance understands how you bank, offering the mobile banking services that you need. Renaissance also knows that sometimes you need to speak to real people with real answers, and that's why Renaissance has more than 190 convenient locations, and we're in one of them in Alpharetta, throughout the South, ready to serve you. For more information, go to renaissancebank.com, Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. Now I want to turn to Adrian O'Connor. Adrian is the CEO of the Global Accounting Network. Adrian, welcome.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, nice to be here. Yeah, it's great to have you here. So tell us about the Global Accounting Network. Tell us about your company.
So Global Accounting Network is an international recruiting and headhunting firm. Started in London about 9 years ago and operating globally from there for the last 8 years. Launched in Atlanta earlier this year with a view to solving some of the talent issues that there are across the Atlanta accounting and finance market.
Wow. Why Atlanta?
It's a great city, first and foremost.
Okay, we're all proud now.
Yeah,
thank you
absolutely.
For that.
We enjoy being here, but we could have gone anywhere in the U.S., essentially.
Sure.
We did a lot of research, as you'd expect, and some really fun field trips as part of that, which was good. But essentially, we wanted to avoid the places where U.K. recruiting firms usually go, which seems to be a bit of a holiday list. So they go to New York, L.A., San Francisco, you know, all the places that seem glamorous.
Sure.
And we wanted to avoid that because those markets are heavily congested, as London is. And I think there are some real talent acquisition issues in other cities. So we looked exclusively across the South. We looked at Dallas, Houston, Austin, Nashville, Charlotte, and a bit of Miami, just because I quite like it. But we wrote that one off quite quickly. And Atlanta just made the most sense. So over 6 million people, really good inward migration of talent, fourth highest concentration of Fortune 500 headquarters, third concentration on the Inc. 5000, which is the 5000 fastest growing privately owned businesses in the US. So just lots and lots of commercial reasons. It's a great place to do business. And Southern hospitality is a real thing, which we really enjoy.
Adrian O'Connor speaks. He's with the Chamber of Commerce in Atlanta. That sounded like the pitch. Thank you for that. That was pretty cool. It's great that someone from the outside sees that and endorses that. But accounting is the backbone of business. And you've got to have, if you got a lot of business, you've got to have a lot of good accountants, right? So that's got to be part of what you're looking for in a market to be in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is a phenomenally busy accounting and finance staffing market, and there are some real problems in the way that businesses go about solving those needs. The war for talent is a real thing. You know, it's well talked about. I think that PwC's most recent survey said that 79% of CEOs think that access to skills is in their top three concerns for the future. But I don't necessarily think if you ask those same CEOs, how confident are you in the measures you're taking to tackle that, they would be addressing it with the same level of importance that it seems to have. So there's a real disconnect, I think, between how important people think talent attraction is and the measures they're taking to solve those problems. And we've come here to try and step in and add some value to the market, do things slightly differently in order to tackle those issues.
So you do recruiting for public companies, that Fortune 500 companies, accounting firms. Talk about who your clients are, Adrian.
So essentially our clients are anyone that's a reputable employer that needs to hire finance and accounting professionals. We tend to steer clear of the public accounting firms because most of our clients want to hire from those firms, and we will not attract talent from firms that we're also hiring into. So the public accounting firms tend to be where we find our talent from, and then we place them into anything from a high growth startup through to a Fortune 500 company. The main criteria for us is that the business is a good employer, has a good reputation, and is, you know, worth us placing our people into, because actually we work on behalf of the talent as much as we do of the employer. And then the other thing is that we can build a really strong partnership with the people in that business, because I think for us to do our job well, we're matching people to people. We've got to get to know the people. We've got to understand the people. And if you can't build that partnership and you're held at arm's length, we can't solve those problems.
So in the public and private companies that you work with, Adrian, what's the trend in terms of hiring? There's a little bit of cross current. There's a lot of growth going on, but at the same time, a lot of technology changes that maybe eliminate some previously important jobs. Talk a little bit about those cross currents and how that's going.
So automation is obviously a big agenda across all of our clients, or certainly the bigger of our clients. And I think some of the more clerical and administrative finance tasks and accounting tasks will be taken on by automation, machine learning, etc. A lot of what we do is at the mid to senior end. And so we're placing finance people that are out there in the business, helping to steer decision making, delivering insight, and helping either, you know, control costs and make the business more efficient, or work out where to spend money to help the business grow more effectively. And so that, I don't think, is in any danger of being automated anytime soon. The other side of what we do on the accounting piece is often very technical, very highly skilled and very detail-orientated, and is quite often quite manual. So, you know, whilst all of our clients are implementing systems and implementing processes to drive automation, I still think there's a very, very big need for highly skilled people in the mid to senior positions. The challenge is actually getting access to those people.
It's hard to get great decisions and insights out of ones and zeros, right? So we're speaking with Adrian O'Connor, and he is the CEO with Global Accounting Network. So often the recruiting industry gets a bad rep. Maybe you, for those that don't know what that is, explain what that is, and why do you think that's happening?
I think there are a lot of recruiting firms or a lot of recruiters focus purely on the result and not on the experience. They get paid on the result. You get paid a commission on the result. So clearly, if that's where your money comes from, that's what you focus on a lot of the time.
Sure.
So they tend to focus purely on the outcome and burn people along the journey. And I think the whole supply chain in what we do is pretty broken, and that's what we're working to fix. So client pays us, so client is treated as king, oversold to and often under-delivered to as a result. Candidate is treated as a commodity because they're the product and they're great whilst you've got something for them, and then immediately forgotten about as soon as you don't. And that just doesn't work as a supply chain. You know, if you compare that to any other industry, if you were selling soft drinks, you wouldn't get a load, go and find someone who wants to buy soft drinks, treat them like a king, then think, oh, I need to go and find some soft drinks. Go off and try and find soft drinks, come back, try and sell them. If you didn't sell them, leave them at the side of the road and go off and find some more soft. It just doesn't work. And yet that's how our industry typically behaves. So everyone feels at some point that they've been burnt by a recruiter because of the way they've been treated. And we're in a people industry. Recruiters should be behaving differently because they should be valuing the people that they're working with. And those relationships shouldn't be transient. They should be long-term, well-developed and personal.
Sure.
And so that's what we're working very hard to overcome. So we meet everybody we work with. You know, we work with every candidate we meet, every client we meet. It's about matching people to people, as I said. And it's about that personal touch and making sure that we've always got access to the best talent. There's a lot of people out there. But I think it was Bill Gates that said, you surround yourself with A-plus players because a small team – so it wasn't Bill Gates. It was Apple.
Oh, Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs, I'm sorry, yes.
One of those big computer guys.
Surround yourself with A-plus players because a small team of A-plus players will run rings around a massive team of B and C players.
For sure.
And so for us, we've got to make sure we're constantly networking amongst the best finance and accounting talent in the marketplace. They're not actively looking for work. They're happy, successful, rewarded, engaged. But we've got to know who they are and what would be the right strategic career move for them at the right time. And then we can help our clients find the best people in the marketplace.
Adrian, there's a lot more turnover in corporate America, corporations around the world, but certainly here in corporate America. What advice do you give to your clients in terms of not just attracting talent, but retaining that talent?
It's really interesting. So there's obviously lots of research about the generation gaps and Generation X versus the millennials, et cetera. And as someone who's on the older side of that generation gap, I've worked quite hard on it in my own companies. And the millennials particularly the research shows, need to feel part of the mission. They need to feel engaged in what they're doing and that what they're doing is contributing to the overall mission of the company. They need to feel aligned with the values of the company. There's so much choice out there now. You know, every day jobs get pushed at people via job boards and websites and recruiters. And so companies need to work much harder on those retention strategies. And it's really important that you work with your talent to review their outputs, review their inputs, review their career goals, make sure their career goals are aligned to the goals of the business and they can see how what they're doing contributes to the goals of the business. If your competition is hungrier for your staff than you are to keep them, you will lose those people.
Sure.
And those people, the best of those people will be getting called by people like me on a regular basis. And at some point, if you're not engaging them and making sure they feel part of that mission, they're going to take that call.
So what's it like to build relationships here in the Atlanta market for you? How's it been?
It's been interesting. I think is a good euphemism for the conversation. I think because of the bad reputation of recruiters, you start every new relationship from a negative. Pretty much. You know, the first thing anyone thinks is, oh, I've got a recruiter on the phone. Why did I pick up that call? And that's a challenge, but it's also an opportunity because as soon as you can show you're not like that, and as soon as you can show you're different and why you're different, you tend to get a lot of loyalty and you tend to get a lot of opportunity. So once we overcome that initial hurdle, it's been really good. And we get a lot of referrals and, you know, we've got several clients we're working with at the moment that have been referred to us by other clients. We've got candidates that have gone into new businesses and have then referred us into those businesses because we did a fantastic job for them as candidates, even if we didn't find them that job. So we find that it's a really genuine place where people are very receptive to a genuine service. And because so many recruiters are a bit disingenuous, as soon as people see that we are genuine and what we're saying is authentic and we do work to high standards, you tend to find a lot of loyalty and a lot of referrals.
Great stuff. Adrian O'Connor, he's the CEO of Global Accounting Network. So what advice would you give to candidates out there that maybe, if they're not looking now, they're thinking longer term about their career, you know, how do they, let's say, dig their well before they need water, right?
Yeah, I think the first thing is to have a plan. You know, I think there was a survey, it was some time ago, but there was a survey of Harvard graduates and they surveyed them when they were students and they surveyed them again 20 years later. And when they surveyed them as students, only about 4% had a real plan as to what they wanted to do and how they wanted to do it. When they surveyed them again 20 years later, that 4% had made more money than the other 96% combined. So the first thing is have a plan.
Right.
You know where you want to get to and know the steps that you need to take to get there. Obviously, I'm going to say find a good recruiter that you trust and partner with them because that's how we make our living and that's what we do for candidates consistently. So we partner with candidates, not necessarily when they're actively looking for work, but when they're happy and successful, and then we help them plan the steps they need to take to get to where they want to go to. Pick your recruiters carefully. So lots of candidates just fire job applications out. I always advise candidates to call the recruiter first, speak to them, assess them. It's got to be a two-way relationship, so make sure there's somebody you want to work with. But pick your time. You know, the grass isn't always necessarily greener. Look at your current company. Look at what you can achieve in your current company. Speak to the people that you work with and for. Make sure they're aware of your career goals and try and plan within your current company. And then look concurrently if you need to. But the first thing I always think is try and whatever problems or issues or challenges you've got in your career, try and solve them internally first, because quite often your brand equity that you've got internally has been built up over a long period of time. And it's important to try and solve those issues. If then you need to look externally, find a trusted recruitment partner and stick with them and be honest with them and make sure they're honest back.
I think you've saved folks that listen to that advice a lot of heartache, in the future, but I have to follow up on one thing. So, you said assess your recruiter. Maybe you can give folks what a red flag might look like, a few red flags that would be, hey, this is not a recruiter I want to deal with.
You've got to feel like they're taking interest in you. I think there are lots of recruiters that treat candidates as a commodity, as I said earlier. And they'll say, look, yeah, great, send me your resume and try and be getting you off the phone. Whereas a good recruiter should be asking you questions, trying to understand your motivations and spending a bit of time getting to know you before just trying to get something from you. I think it's important that they can show knowledge of the job that you've applied for. So lots of recruiters, I think, are effectively order takers. A client will send them a job spec and they'll send some resumes and they'll hope for the best. But the best recruiters really understand their market. They'll understand the details on the job. They'll understand the detail on the client. And accounting and finance people are detail people. So ask some detailed questions. If your recruiter can't answer those questions, how well do they know the client? How speculative is this opportunity? So just lots of things I think you can do to test them and to test their mettle and their knowledge of the market. And then you can assess, is this somebody I want to partner with or not?
That's great advice. Adrian O'Connor, he's the CEO of Global Accounting Network. So Adrian, I assume you're interested in being in touch with both folks that need to do a search and great candidates that might be looking. So tell them how they can be in touch with you.
So the best way to get in touch is either to call us on the Atlanta number, which is 404-900-3865, or to email me directly, which is aoc@globalaccountingnetwork.net.
Adrian, thanks for being with us.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
So, folks, speaking of accounting needs, if you need help curing the headaches of administrative tasks, bookkeeping, marketing, if you got presentations that you need done, here's one answer for you. Go engage a smart and reliable Office Angel. They're not a temp agency or placement firm. Office Angels matches your business support needs with angels who have the talent and experience necessary to help you maintain and grow your business on an ongoing or as-needed basis. Your terms, your timeline, they lend a hand when needed and fly off when the job is finished. Find out more at officeangels.us or call Chief Executive Angel S.E. Escobedo at 770-442-9246. Now we turn to Gabriel Vaca, and Gabriel is the Executive Director of the Hispanic Business Center here in Atlanta. Gabriel, welcome.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Great to have you here.
Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, so tell everyone a little bit about you and the Hispanic Business Center.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I'm an entrepreneur at heart because I was born in Mexico City. My dad worked for the United Nations, and I grew up in Washington, D.C. And after that, we relocated back to Mexico, and I lived there for 15 years, did my college, and started working in sales. But I didn't feel comfortable there because, you know, I had the bilingual, bicultural part of me that said, I want to be an entrepreneur. So I sold everything I had, and I came to the United States to open a business with not knowing how this market existed, how it worked. And, you know, I did my master's degree here by working and belonging to the local Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Because when I went to Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, even though everything's done in English, there's a lot of Hispanic businesses there, and they showed me the way. They showed me what I needed to do in this market and how to do it and get all the referrals, all the stuff that I needed. So with that, doing international business, because I did a lot of exporting and importing, Mexico, Latin America, Japan, Europe, on the products that I imported from Mexico because I was a distributor, I got involved with UPS. And I filled a room of people as part of my chamber that exported, and UPS hired me. So after 24 years of being with UPS, I retired last year. And I was on the board of the Georgia Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. That is the parent company of the Hispanic Business Center. Ah. The Hispanic Business Center is the programming arm of the Georgia Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. 35 years in business, we've been doing and helping and supporting small Hispanic businesses to grow. So with that, I decided to retire, and I went to work for the chamber.
That's wonderful. And thank you for that, because it's great to see folks with your business experience giving back to the small businesses that come behind them. So thank you for that, Gabriel. But talk a little bit about the programming that the Hispanic Business Center does on behalf of the members and what that looks like.
Absolutely. Thank you for that question. So after 35 years in the business, we're one of the 10th largest Hispanic chambers in the country, and you know, 90% are Hispanic businesses. However, we have sponsors. They're all the big corporations, the UPSs of the world, the Georgia Powers, and everybody around in the state of Georgia. We did a relationship with the Georgia Chamber of Commerce. So we're in there actually in their building because they wanted to be more diverse. So we have a relationship with them in the Georgia Chamber of Commerce, which has 40,000 members. And ours is about 1,200, 1,300 members. So, what we know as an Hispanic business in the survey say that what an Hispanic business needs, and probably also regular businesses, is access to capital, to scale, as well as education. Education is the number one thing. So we decided under the Hispanic Business to create programming for education. And I'm talking about programming, very nuts and bolts programming. Finance for non-financial managers and teams. Recruiting, finding your own business. How to do your transition into a resume. How businesses, small Hispanic businesses, recruit next superstars. We also have financing. We also have how to put your business online, marketing, on and on and on. Those programs are probably two to three we do per week. Sometimes we do about seven of those programs per month. What that means is that we're impacting about 150 to 250 small Hispanic business owners as well as their teams.
And your programming, the events that you handle are all over the city.
Yes.
Right.
That's a great question because we can't concentrate. Our offices are downtown, which is difficult, but we do hold programs there. But we have relationships with the Cobb Chamber of Commerce, Fulton Chamber of Commerce.
Yep.
You were one of our speakers.
Right. That's how we got connected. Greater North Fulton Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah. You provided education on about pricing and how businesses, and there was a lot of questions I recall on that. That's how we met. And we also do it with the Gwinnett Chamber of Commerce. And we have now a relationship with the Douglas Chamber of Commerce. So these businesses or business groups that we have, you have 90% again Hispanic businesses, but we have non-Hispanic businesses. Because we want that integration. We want that diversity.
Sure.
Those that say, I don't want to go to these because I'm not Hispanic. You don't have to be Hispanic. You want to penetrate the Hispanic market? Come to these meetings. Penetrate them.
Well, and if you're not an Hispanic business, you're guaranteed to meet folks that you don't know